Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. We have a lot going on as a new Congress is about to take office. President-elect Trump wanting to move forward his very ambitious agenda. We're going to talk about all that. Scott Parkinson, good to have you here, Scott.
Great to be back, Loman.
In order to pass his agenda, the president-elect, Donald Trump, is going to need Congress to take action on a number of budgetary items. Also, he's pledged a number of tax cuts. We have the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that needs to be renewed. How is all this going to stack up? What sort of agenda items can we look for, and at what point during calendar year 2025?
Yeah, well, it's going to be, you know, super tight because we only have 220 seats in the House of Representatives, and President Trump is plucking three of them away for his administration, Elise Stefanik and Michael Waltz. He tried with Matt Gaetz, and then Gaetz ultimately withdrew his nomination for Attorney General, but that seat is going to be vacant on January 3rd, and they'll have to do a special election in Florida. And it looks like Jimmy Patronis, the chief financial officer of Florida, a statewide elected official, is going to win that race. However, when you have such a slim majority, you are going to be, number one, capitalizing on your position as an electoral mandate, and number two, really trying to fulfill some of those promises as quickly as you can. So with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, some of those provisions from the 2017 tax law expire at the end of 2025. And it's pretty complicated negotiation. You might remember in 2017, we first tried to repeal Obamacare, and that effort ultimately failed on the thumb of John McCain in the Senate. So they moved from healthcare over to tax policy. And that bill actually wasn't signed into law until about 10 days before Christmas in 2017. And so this time, President Trump and his negotiators have been working with the Senate leadership and the House leadership to try to determine what the first 90 days, what the first 30 days is going to look like. And this week, they've pretty much developed a consensus that instead of doing one big reconciliation bill, they're going to do two bills. And that means, first of all, that you have to have a concurrent budget resolution pass through the House and the Senate, which provides for these reconciliation instructions that basically set the guardrails of what Congress can do on legislation that's intended to bypass the legislative filibuster in the United States Senate and really deal with issues like taxes, spending, and the debt limit. The debt limit does expire in January. We'll see Treasury engage in extraordinary measures and probably punt that back to some level of a bipartisan agreement in June, because we know that there's a lot of Republicans that just are not going to vote for a debt limit increase unless it solves our debt and deficit problem. So, you know, what we're going to see here quickly in January, maybe even before Trump is sworn in, are both houses of Congress passing a concurrent budget resolution, which does include those instructions. At Club for Growth, we're hoping that they provide broad instructions to all the legislative committees so that they really can include a lot of these members' ideas. It looks like the bill is going to form a consensus around immigration policy, border security, and also energy policy. So whether there's deregulation, defunding of some of the Green New Deal type programs that the Biden administration went ahead and enacted, they can basically draw down the ratchet on spending, and as long as the spending in the eyes of the parliamentarian is bigger than the policy change, then it can survive what's known as the Byrd rule in the Senate and be included in final passage for that bill. We've obviously seen these limits tested a lot over the previous years. Biden had a couple of reconciliation bills. The big one was the Biden stimulus, where he added, I think, about $1.2 trillion of federal spending. And then later, you know, he came back to the drawing board and he did the Inflation Reduction Act. So it's not unusual for a president to use budget reconciliation in order to enact some of their agenda. I think President Trump is going to test the limits on deportations and border security and immigration. It'll be interesting to see how the Senate responds to that. And so we're pretty excited here because, number one, you've got a lot of the big Trump promises from the 2024 campaign that can be included. It'll be a fun process. It'll be moving really fast. And hopefully we've got a bill that Trump can sign within the first 100 days that makes a meaningful difference for the U.S. economy. Trump recently said, you know, there's two words that he won on in the 2024 election. The first one was immigration, and the second one he said was groceries. And I think that you're going to see them try to do things that relieves all this pressure on inflation. I think November was the highest inflation that we've had in 7 months. And, you know, we want to make sure that that gets tamed pretty quickly here. The Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Doge Commission is going to be kicked into high gear and providing my friend Russ Vogt over at OMB a lot of ideas on how they can reduce federal spending and sort of this bloated bureaucracy within the federal government. And ultimately, that will, I think, create some downward pressure on inflation if they can get it done.
Meanwhile, as you pointed out, the Democrats are going to be, although in a minority, a very substantial minority. There's something called the House Oversight Committee. The infamous Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez looks like she's queued up to be the chairperson of that. Is that going to be the area where Democrats are going to engage in a lot of chicanery relative to the new Trump administration?
Well, you guys might remember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez came into office in that 2018 election when Democrats won back the House majority. And one of the first big efforts that they did was try to launch an impeachment inquiry against Donald Trump. They also tried to advance the Green New Deal. She is sort of the darling of the left. And now she's entering, I think, her fourth term. She's 35 years old, no longer obviously in her 20s. And she's decided, hey, I'm ambitious. I'm going to sink a ranking member position within an important committee that she already has belonged to. So she's been running against Jerry Connolly, who's 74 years old from Virginia. And it's sort of a big message to a lot of the Democrats of, hey, we've been running these old geezers for a long time. Time to hand it over to some of the younger people. And as much of a lightning rod AOC is for the left, I think it's an opportunity for us to sort of expose her crazy ideas if she's going to be the lead communicator when it comes to House Democrats' investigations. So in some ways, it'll be, I think, very, very good. It's almost a gift handed to the Republicans. But on the other hand, I think the Democrats will be excited about having her take on more of a leadership position as the ranking member on oversight.
We have been talking with Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. And Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Club for Growth is based out of Washington, D.C. We have an organization united in the ideas of economic freedom, liberty, and opportunity. Anybody can sign up and become a member for free at clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you again for being here.
You're welcome.